A few things just to get going. When we were in worship, and Jill came up and said, I've got pain in my right shoulder, therefore I think I'm going to pray for somebody. And I think God does work like that sometimes. But the funny thing is, I had a pain in my left shoulder, and I thought, we just keep going, we'll cover the whole body, won't we? And then somebody said left hip, and I was just waiting, and a right hip. Anyway, we in the end, we'll cover the whole body, okay, and we'll bring healing in every area. So I spoke to somebody at the back then. We prayed for their shoulder, and she just said, actually, I feel God healed me straight away.
Amen.
It's fantastic.
Amen.
Just a really great moment. And Mo, hi. I feel God's got a word for you.
Yeah,
okay.
God has got a word for me.
He has got a word for you.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you're singing, and you sing like out of time for the rest of us a little bit, don't you? Yeah, you do. And you're quite loud. But you know what? God always looks in your heart.
Yeah, and God always looks up in my heart.
And you keep repeating truth.
Yeah,
okay.
Amen.
And you know, God sees you and he just absolutely delights in you.
Yeah,
but when I'm preaching now, don't repeat everything I say now, okay? I can't cope with it. Okay. We love you, Mo. Oh, and the other thing, I just wanted to really briefly, where's Michelle? Has Michelle just gone out? I think she's gone out with the offering. And Chris, is Chris Sharrock here? Chris, you slept out last week, didn't you, at a football ground?
We did indeed.
Yeah. Now, it was a planned thing, wasn't it?
Yes.
Was it a good time? Did you get... So, the both of you slept out there, and there was about 50 people, and you were raising money for Homeless Action in Barnet. That's so we run a night shelter over the winter, and it's run with HAB, but it was great. And did you raise all the money that you needed to raise?
Yeah. Well, we could always raise more. Yeah. Okay.
The organisation was about 12 grand.
Money shared between HAB and Together in Barnet. Together in Barnet is the group that runs the shelter.
Okay.
Right?
Fantastic. I think it was great. I felt really jealous that I couldn't go and sleep out there as well. But anyway, it was great. It was really good that you did that. We are here because we're hungry to see more of God moving in our presence. And God does seem to be doing something like new in the church at the moment, which is just really very exciting. Last week, we looked at Hebrews chapter 12 and how God is speaking a better word over us, how things are beginning to shift, and how God wants to change how we think about different situations. And I know that actually God is changing the way that I think, and God is changing who I am, and God, I think, is changing the leader that I am as well for the church. And it's just an exciting time. I think over the next couple of weeks, what you need to know is we've got this series that Jesus speaks a better word over our lives. And I think there are a number of different areas that God wants to really to speak into, because if we want to see this sustainable power of God working in our lives, I think there are certain strongholds in our lives that he needs to deal with, and he needs to deal with in my life, and he needs to deal with in your life. And I think there are areas like, if you feel, we talked about this last week very briefly, but if you have felt really controlled by fear, issues that have gone in the past, God really wants to deal with that. If you've always felt that you're always the first person to criticize or to judge somebody, I feel God wants to deal with that in your life. If you feel that you always need to be in control, if you feel that God has disappointed you in the past, and if you feel that sometimes you just lack belief that God really wants to do something in your life, I think these are major areas that God really wants to deal with. They are blocks, really, in many ways, in our lives for God, what God wants to do in our lives. This morning, we're going to do something. We're going to look at the first area. And the first area is this. that did you know that you are not on your own? And God wants to speak into your life this morning and to say this: you are my beloved child. I love you, and my favor rests on you. And this morning, I think what I want to do is, and we will stay with this sort of like subject for, I don't know how long it will take. It may take 1 week, or it may take two, or it may take 3 weeks, but I just feel we want to stay to this place where we need to get so we truly understand that God loves us and he is for us and he loves to give us good things. Who's here on Easter Sunday? Anyone here? Okay, if you weren't here, if somebody's good, can you put to the next slide, Steve? It's all right? Okay. Did anyone, if you didn't hear it, this is Mimi's testimony. Okay. So Mimi is the eldest daughter of Marco and Manuela, and she's 8 years old. And it was the most extraordinary story that Mimi stood up here. So Mimi is adopted. And let me just, there are some bits that just make me absolutely laugh and bits that make me want to cry. And it says, "My name is Mimi and I'm 8 years old. God has done an amazing thing in my life. Before I was even born, God knew that I was going to be adopted. I went through a long process while God chose a good family for me. And I'm so thankful to God that when I was 2 years old, I was adopted by my mummy and daddy, Manuela and Marco." And Marco's on PA. "And 4 years later, my sister Lexi arrived. From the very beginning, my parents told me how much I am loved by them and most of all by God. My mummy and daddy tell me that we are all adopted into God's family. And God loves you even if you're not adopted." Did you know what? Even if you're not adopted today, God really, really loves you. Even if you're not adopted. "And I am very blessed because I've been adopted twice, once by my earthly family, and most importantly by God. God has amazing plans for all of us." I so loved it. And Mimi stood up here with Manuel in it, and it was just an extraordinary moment. But the reason I just wanted to sort of show it to you again is because, you know, Mimi doesn't struggle with the understanding that she is loved by her mum and dad. Even though she knows she is adopted, that actually Marco and Manuela are not her birth parents. She just stands. She said, "No, I know that they love me. They kept telling me that they love me." And when she read that, you realize it's got quite deep down into her life. She is secure. She is a secure young woman who knows that she is loved by her mummy and her daddy. And she also knows that she's loved by God. It's wonderful. And you know, I think I sometimes would like to be as secure in God's love as Mimi is in the love of her mum and dad. Would be great, wouldn't it? The other thing is, I just want to, sorry, just bear with me. A couple of times when Jules comes up to pray, Jules comes up and he shares a prophetic word and he says, am I allowed to do a South African accent?
Try it.
I feel, no, it's, I can do a really, I just feel it sometimes, huh? That's a really Afrikaans accent, isn't it? It's not really right. God really speaks to me. And Jules says, and Jules would talk about God and he says, "And daddy said this to me and daddy said that to me." And the thing is, and occasionally some people say, "Why does Jules say that? Well, it's a bit weird, isn't it?" Now, if you know your Bibles, you know it's not weird, because it talks about the Holy Spirit enables us to say, "Abba, Father." It's exactly the same. So biblically, there's nothing wrong with it. Jules, just come up. Jules, just really briefly. So when you come up and you say, "Daddy said this," and you're referring to our Heavenly Father, why do you say that?
I got to know.
Is it? That's working.
And there was sound. I got to know Daddy, Father God, from when I was really young. I was on my bed. I lost my dad. Just recently lost my dad. I was about 7.5. And
your dad died?
Yes. Yeah, my dad died in a horrible motorcycle accident. It was quite traumatic. And I remember being in school, and one of the kids in my class, his dad was a rugby coach. And, you know, we'd be running around. He's like, "Dad." And I'm like, "Oh, I miss my dad." And I was just on my bed, and I managed to get hold of my dad's Bible. And I was just so longing to hear the words, "My son." And it just so happens I opened the Bible in a section of Proverbs where every single chapter, it seemed, started with, "My son." My son. And I got to know God, my father, my daddy, in a very special way. In a way that I met daddy first, then I got have an encounter with Jesus, and then I got have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And looking back, daddy was the one who sent people along, that when it felt like I'm going to hit rock bottom, he sent around, I'm a cricket fan, a Jonty Rhodes, and catches the ball just before it touches the ground. He sent people around just to catch me before I hit rock bottom. And that's my daddy.
Amen.
And he's your daddy.
Very good. Let me pray for you. Yeah. Father, I want to thank you that you came and spoke to a 7.5-year-old boy. And you showed yourself to be, Lord, his heavenly father. And Lord, I want to pray that, Lord, that revelation that Jules had, Lord, that as a church we would understand it more and more, that you are our heavenly father who loves us, who loves to bless us. And Lord, we want to pray that, Lord, that you would bless Jules now. And I pray that you'd bless Mimi as well, that they would come to even greater and greater revelation of who you are as their heavenly father who loves them and loves to bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 15. We're going to read the story that probably many of you will know. And it's the story of the prodigal son. And we seem to have a little bit of a theme that when we gather together to pray in different situations in the church, that sometimes we have these sort of like, you know, prophetic words. And I think when we gather together on Friday, we felt that there are a number of things that God was saying to us, that one of them was that God wants to welcome you into a place where you look at God eye to eye, that you stand in front of God with no fear and with no shame and with no sort of concerns about retribution, but you are able to stand in front of your Heavenly Father eye to eye and look at him, and all that you receive from him is grace and mercy and love and acceptance. And I think we're going to read this story of the parable of the prodigal son. And it is, everyone knows it as the parable of the prodigal son, but I'd like to read it with a slightly different perspective in our mind and say, actually, no, this is the story of the extravagant father. The extravagant father. Is that okay? So I'll read verse 15, verse 1 to 3. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And so he told them this parable. And he told them a couple of parables, and then we skip on to verse 11. There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to the father, "Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey to a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose across that country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the field to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, but nobody gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced and kissed him. And then the son son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quickly bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let's eat and celebrate. For this was my son who was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew close to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called to one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to them, your younger brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. And the father came out and entreated him. But he answered him, Father, look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed a fattened calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother was dead, and he is alive. He was lost, and now he's found. What I want to do is a little bit of brainstorming around that story. And I'd really like to articulate, and for you to call out the words that you feel describe the attitude of the father in there. Steve, there isn't any way that we can write any of this up on a screen, is there? Yep. I don't quite understand how Steve does it. Okay, but somehow he just makes stuff appear. So words that would describe the father's attitude, his heart towards his sons. Anything? Compassionate.
Understanding.
Unconditional. Wait a minute. Steve, are they going to go up at okay, no, don't worry. We'll leave it up to you. We'll, okay. So, compassionate, understanding. What?
Unconditional love.
Grace.
Forgiveness.
Kindness. Enthusiasm.
Joy.
Happiness,
celebration,
generous, relief. Fantastic. Anything else? Sorry?
Love.
Just love.
Strong and steady.
Strong and steady.
Unconditional.
Unconditional. He never gives up. What were you trying to say, Kat?
Yeah, okay, he always looks out for him. He was looking like when he was going to come back.
And Eileen got it for you. Yeah. He never gives up.
Put it into words.
Anything else?
Humble.
Humble.
Faith.
Faith. Seeing the best in him. Seeing, okay. What a great one to finish with. Seeing the best in him.
Forgiveness.
Forgiving and grace. Can we do that, Steve? Okay. Are there anyone others that we've missed over there? You need to know that that is your Heavenly Father's attitude towards you. That's what he feels about you. It's a parable that Jesus told to demonstrate God's heart towards you. I know so often we think of it as he is slightly different, but he is compassionate towards you. He understands your situation. He is full of kindness. And you know, so often we think, oh God, he just wants us to serve him. He wants us to do, no, he is full of kindness towards you. He is full of happiness. He celebrates your life. He's generous. He is very relieved when you turn to him. When you mess up really badly, He is full of unconditional love. He is strong and steady. He will never, ever give up on you. He is full of faith for you. And you always think, oh, I have to have faith. No, he is full of faith for you. He's humble. He always sees the best in you. He is forgiving and he is full of grace. It's quite extraordinary, isn't it, when you see God's heart towards you. I think Jesus was just trying to communicate something to the disciples and the crowd, and it was this. Firstly, you have a loving Heavenly Father who really loves you. Secondly, that if you stray or fall or struggle or correction, when you fail and struggle and fall, his love for you is not affected. It's quite amazing, isn't it? That actually his love is not dependent on you coming to church and praying and reading the Bible and doing the right things and praying for people and sleeping out in football stadiums to raise money. It is not dependent on that. It is dependent on a decision that he has made to love you. I think the other thing that he was trying to say is this, that your Heavenly Father does not want servants. He wants sons and daughters. He doesn't want servants. He wants sons and daughters. And he doesn't want sons and daughters who try and sort it out for themselves. He wants sons and daughters who will lean into him, who will trust him. This younger son is quite an interesting character. It's a parable, but I don't think the younger son really knew how much his dad loved him, did he? He didn't really get it. He was consumed with life and everything else that was going on and having a great time. And he behaved really a little bit like an orphan. He just went off and did his own thing. And sometimes that makes me wonder, why didn't he really hear his father's love for him? And I think it's because my Heavenly Father's love for me is not always the loudest and the most boisterous thing that I hear. I hear a lot of other stuff being spoken to me. And sometimes, you know, like Elijah, there's a story in the Old Testament when Elijah stood on this mountainside and all these things, this sort of like earthquake and this wind and this fire came past. And actually, no, God wasn't in that. But God then spoke to Elijah in a still small voice that was like a gentle breeze. And sometimes the love of God, the love that your Father has for you, is not the loudest and the most boisterous thing that you will hear in life. But sometimes it comes like a gentle breeze. But part of this series is this, that God is speaking a better word over you. He is speaking a better word to you, and he would say this, you are my beloved child, I love you, and my favor rests on you. The older son, again, you know, I'm sure there are lots of people, if you've been around in churches for a long time, you will have probably heard that people talk about the prodigal son for a long time. I'm not going to go into great depth in it, but you know, even the older son, you think, the older son had lost the experience of his father's love. And the younger son returned and offered to be a servant. Well, the older son had actually become a servant. He wasn't really acting out of any sense of love. He was just acting out of duty. And you know, that I just need to come back and say again, the dad did not want servants. He wanted sons. He wanted sons. And did you know what? That loved sons and daughters serve really well, but servants don't make very good kids. They don't. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to act. They're always trying to think, oh, what could I have to do to please my master? What do I have to do to make him feel happy? When you're kids, you go with the flow. God loves you. And it's a much easier thing. This story, by the way, is a parable. I know sometimes we would want to think, well, if it's in the Bible, it's got to be true. The older son was a real person and the younger son was a real person. It's not. It's a parable. It's just a story that Jesus told. And if it's a story that Jesus told, we're allowed to change it around a bit, okay? So I want to add another character to this story. I want to add the middle son. Ah, the middle son. Now, you might identify with the younger son. You might, and you know, there will be people that will identify with the younger son, and you sort of like, you just consume life, and then you think, I don't know what's going on, and then you go back, and you have to try and work it out, and I think there are temperamentally, sort of, there are just people that are more like the younger son type person, and they will go just go off and sort of like ask for They'll ask forgiveness rather than for permission, and they'll just go and do stuff, and it'll all work out, and then they'll come back. And there are some people that temperamentally, I think, just identify probably more with the older son. And you probably have a, you know, to put it in a very positive way, you're much more responsible. You know, you're much more responsible, and you see what needs to be done, and you get on with it. But there are dangers in both, aren't there? The dangers here that you just start serving. But I want to say, what if there was a middle son? A middle son. And this son, he grew up. I think they were on a farm, weren't they? They were running a farm. This middle son grew up sitting around the dinner table with his dad talking about the farm business. And they'd have discussions. Dad, what do you think about doing this? And his dad would say, yeah, I think that's a great idea. Why don't you go and do it? And the more he got to know the business, the more he grew with his dad, the more responsibility that he took in actually running the farm business. But basically, this son, he knew that his dad really loved him. And as he just grew in confidence and he grew in favor. And he was just able to partner with God a lot more. And there were certain times when this son, he made decisions that pushed the farm, I don't know, perhaps he bought the latest combine harvester. And he went out to a trade show in Brussels with agricultural machinery. And he had a great weekend there. He did a little bit of sightseeing and all that sort of stuff. And then he came back and he saw this bit of machinery that they really needed on the farm. And he said, okay, that is going to make this situation so much easier. So what he did was he went up to the sales rep and he said, okay, I'm going to place an order for this thing. But in the back of his mind, he was thinking, I know that this is what my dad would really appreciate. I wonder how he's going to sort it out. I wonder how he's going to pay for it. But never at any point did he think, my dad's not going to cover it. He knew, because it was about the business. It was about the family business that they wanted to grow. And actually, they were in it together. There was this sense of, I'm working with my dad. And there were times, in the relationship between the middle son and the, there were difficulties and they had arguments, but ultimately there was a security there that they were able to work together and understand something. Do you know, both the older son and the younger son, they lived effectively as orphans. And I think they probably felt that they were quite alone in the world. It's just them against the world. The younger son actually knew that he had his dad on his side, that they were working together. And you know, last week when we just kicked off this whole series of Jesus Speaks a Better Word, I had to be honest with you and confess that sometimes when you're leading a church, it's easy to slip into being a functional, like, orphan. Because when you've really longed to see God do something, or you've really longed to see God heal somebody, or you've really longed for breakthrough in some sort of areas, and it doesn't happen, and you begin to get disappointed with God. And you know, and I'm sure all of us have been in that situation. But when I'm leading the church, there are times I think, oh God, why didn't you do that? And so you get to this point where you think, okay, I'm going to sort it out myself. I'll do it. God, you want your church to grow, so I'll make your church grow. You want to see people healed and saved, so I'll sort that out. And the danger is that the more you keep relying on yourself, the less you're able to sort of like, to understand, the less you're connected in with your heavenly Father who loves you. And I think sometimes the older and the younger son, they just thought, okay, I'll sort stuff out myself. And what were they doing? They were depriving themselves of all the resources of their heavenly Father that really wanted to bless them. I think I've had to realize the change, some of the change that I'm going through in leading the church is to understand that I'm not alone, that God loves me, that God loves to provide. And I would really love us as a church to build a culture where we are more like the middle son. Not like the younger son, and not like the older son, but like the middle son. I don't want to live as self-reliant orphans. I don't want this as a church. I don't want us to become more self-reliant. But we need to understand this, that your heavenly Father is singing over you today. You are my beloved child. I love you, and my favor rests on you. And you need to hear it. And the more that soaks into our lives, you are my beloved child. I love you. My favor rests on you. I think there are times when we understand more who God is, that he just loves us when we ask. Like when we came up and said, who's going to be healed today? You think, I think God loves it when that happens to us. I think he loves it when there are situations where we would say to him, I wonder how God is going to sort this out. Do you know what? There was a situation a few weeks ago. Again, you know, I think I've realized actually it's quite important for me to be honest, but I think there was a situation a couple of weeks ago when I felt in God I would really love to have done something. And I don't want to sort of go into great detail, but it was about sort of connecting with a particular person that was around and available. Ray on the drums coming over. And actually what I did was I acted as a functional orphan. I didn't say, come over. I don't know how we'll sort it out, but God will do it. But my Heavenly Father will do it. I think I probably more said, I don't know how we can pay for it. Therefore, we can't do it. And you know, I need to change on that. Because my Heavenly Father wants to bless this church, wants to bless me far more than I will ever grasp. I need to know the Father's heart and the Father's attitude and the Father's love towards me more than anything. And you know, if we want to see something sustained within the church about a move of God, we need to shift in our thinking. And we need to shift, and we need to, when it talks about repenting, the word repent means think differently afterwards. And when you've been in a place when you think your Heavenly Father does not love you, some of the words that we put up there, when you think those words do not apply to you, I'm really sorry, but you need to repent of that. Because the truth of it is from the Bible that God loves you. And God loves to bless you. And God looks on you with great favor. Do you mess it up sometimes? Yes, of course you do. But like the younger son, he is desperately looking out for you to come back. Jesus is speaking a better word over us. I think I want to stop, and I would like us to pray. I'd like us to have a time of ministry, because I think there'll be some people who have felt like younger sons, that they've run away. I think there'll be some people that feel like older sons who've just been full of duty. And I'm praying that there is a growing number of middle sons amongst us, middle sons and daughters who just delight in what God is doing and will rest easy in his presence. Could you stand? And Mark and Yvonne, could you come back? Last week we had a wonderful time of ministry, and at the end of a sermon, I said, oh, look, you know, come and get, if you'd like to be prayed for. And then I went over and spoke to Bryn over there, and it was just nobody came down. And I was thinking, oh, Bryn, you better pray for me then. And then I just sort of turned around, and there was this groundswell of people being prayed for. And you need to know that this is a really safe place to be prayed for, that this is not a place where you'll be judged. This is not a place where people will criticize you. This is not a place where people will tuck inside if you say something to them. This is a place where God's love can freely be ministered to you. Heavenly Father, we just invite you, Lord, in these last few minutes before the kids come charging back in, we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and minister to us. Come on us, Lord. I pray that we would go back to our homes. We would get back into our cars with this greater confidence that we are loved by you. I pray that we'd have the greater confidence of a little girl like Mimi, who just is able to say, even if you're not adopted, God loves you, because she knows so much that she is loved. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.